Hi, welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics, and on this podcast, we offer expert sex advice and proven strategies to optimize your sex life and your love life, and hopefully your whole life. You can find our complete podcast archive at pleasuremechanics.com, where you will also have an opportunity to sign up for the Erotic Essentials, our free online course that is a treasure trove of amazing sex advice and strategies you can put into practice right away. So head over to pleasuremechanics.com and sign up for the Erotic Essentials. All right, we are back. We have been on the road for 5.5 weeks. We got back about a week ago. We went to England, we went to Los Angeles. And before we left, I hustled to schedule up all of the podcast episodes and newsletters. So hopefully you didn't miss us too much, but we were completely out of the sex zone. We were like hanging out with the British relatives, drinking tea and eating biscuits and playing with kids. And it's interesting to take so many weeks not reading about sex and thinking about sex and writing about these things all day, every day. I'm usually so immersed in this topic, and to take a step out and just hang out with family and goof around on the beach was both a pleasure and it's a joy to get back into our daily life. But we had really good family time, really good adventures, and time just to hang out as a family and bond with our extended family.
Yeah, before our kid goes to school next year, we thought this was the last opportunity we had for many years just to have this unscheduled time with every single member of my family.
Don't say that, it'll make me buy more plane tickets. All right, so we are back. I wanted to start back with a really explicit topic and really juice up the podcast feed for you and give you something explicit and raunchy. But we needed to ease back into things too here. So today I want to talk about a framework for asking for what you desire, how to have a great ask in bed.
Which can lead to many juicy adventures. Mm-hmm. Let's be clear.
This is one of those foundational skills that, while it's not as exciting to talk about as like fingering techniques or hand jobs or prostate orgasms or any of those things, we love all of that, but we also love these basic communication frameworks that set you up for being able to ask for what you desire. So I came to this topic, I was watching a video by this woman named Allison Armstrong, and she is a relationship coach. She is very, very heteronormative and gender binary. Like, she's all about men and women and the partnership between men and women, and men and women are totally different social animals. And it's a little bit of the men are from Mars, women are from Venus framework, where like we're such different social animals, we need to learn how to speak one another's languages to get along kind of stuff. And as you might know, if you are a devoted listener to this podcast, it's probably not my cup of tea, because I would like to move us beyond the gender binary and simple understandings of what men are like and what women are like. But she has some interesting concepts that I'd like to draw out and then recontextualize and rethink. I try to learn from people who I'm immediately turned off by. Like, if I immediately want to click away from something, I try to stick around and learn a little bit to harvest the gems so we can keep expanding our framework. Yeah? Okay. So she talks about how to have a great ask. And she's talking about asking for what you need from your partners, from your coworkers, from your children, with this idea that most of us don't ask clearly for what we need and then get resentful when it's not done for us.
So true.
Yeah. And so her framework is all about asking clearly and then adding consistent and reliable increases in pressure to get that ask accomplished. So instead of nagging and saying, take out the trash, why don't you ever take out the trash? You never take out the trash. We instead have a very clear ask. I need you to take out the trash every Tuesday before 5 p.m. Can you please do that? And really framing needs clearly stated, specific time frames, painting a picture of what it would look like for that need to be accomplished. And this, for her, is a major breakthrough for men and women. If women can learn how to ask men with the right amount of pressure to get their bidding done. So her acronym is AIDE, A-I-D-E, ask, insist, demand, and then enforce.
What so is intense. What does that mean? Like, what does that look like?
I think so. What she talks about is first you make a good ask. So I need blank. It looks like blank. State what, when, and how you need it to be done. It would provide me with blank. So stating the benefit or the result that it would create. And then asking, what do you need to give me what I'm asking for?
I really like that question.
Yeah. So that's one we're definitely going to extract. But this concept of asking for what you need, putting incremental and reliable increases of pressure is one we can explore more, because I think it doesn't feel good to think about pressuring and enforcing. I can see that more as a boss than as a wife. But we can think about what is our individual capacity and willingness to ask for what we need and insist that it actually happens. And she talks about follow through. There was a quote, "While most people acknowledge that they are afraid of getting a no, we don't talk enough about how hesitant we are to follow up a yes. People wonder if putting pressure on folks to do what they committed to do might ruin it, causing the person to withdraw their yes. Or it might make them hesitant to ever say yes again if you're actually going to expect them to deliver. Can you see how this would leave us with just the hope and prayer that people will come through without any real power or certainty?" So I think this idea of holding one another accountable, and when you hear a yes, you're willing to follow through and what happened to that yes, I think is a good skill to exercise. But when it comes to eroticism and sexuality, we want to go to the yes and, right? So I want to hear that you're willing to be my erotic partner. And now what is that going to look like? How are we going to make that happen? And it is a level of holding each other accountable to either the implicit or explicit premise that we're going to be sexual partners for the rest of our lives. Right? A lot of people get into a long-term relationship with this idea, and they haven't even discussed it, that, yeah, we're going to be sexual together. That's how this started. We're going to maintain a good sex life. This is going to be important to us. But it can't just be this implicit assumption. We need to hold each other accountable to this ongoing process of naming our desires and then fulfilling them for one another. And that's what I really want to operationalize here.
That's quite profound.
Well, we try. All right. So what does that look like? I was thinking about this in the sexual realm. So we can map this into, you know, the working space. I need your submission for the newsletter by Tuesday so I can get the newsletter published on time. Whatever your work situation, like being able to ask these clear communications, I think is really useful. But when I was thinking about it in the erotic realm, it started to break down for me a little bit, because we don't want to ever demand or enforce our sexual needs upon our partners. And especially when we start thinking about, none of us actually have sexual needs.
And this is a wild statement.
This is a paradigm shift, right? But sexuality is not a need. It's not a drive. It's a want. It's a pleasure. And we have human needs that we fold up with sexuality that I think we need to start pulling out of the equation. There is a deep human need for belonging and acceptance and safety.
And love and touch.
And sexuality, through its bonding components, brings us into a relationship with people that we then find that belonging and safety with, right? So for a lot of people, their need for belonging and safety is met through sexual affection. And you need to know that about yourself to navigate how you deal with your sexuality. But when we're talking about sex and fucking and playing around in bed naked and orgasms and oral sex and like that whole realm of sex as play, as pleasure, as fun, as a way of stress relief, as a way of relaxation, as a way of expressing, like that whole realm of just sexual play and eroticism is not a need, it's a want. But we believe wants are important. What you want, what you desire, is just as important as what you need for survival. right? And so when we think about that and we think about our partnerships, people we're in relationships with, we have all sorts of roles and responsibilities together. And in most relationships, you kind of slowly parse out these roles. Okay, you pay the water bill, I'll pay the electric bill. You drop the kids off at school, but I do the grocery shopping on the way home. And there's this constant navigation of, we need food in our fridge, we need to pay the bills, we need to raise our kids. Like, those are the needs of survival that we manage in these domestic partnerships. And we take care of one another in all these ways. But caretaking is not eroticism, and we know this. So I'm proposing we need to create this separate realm where we think about our partners also as our partners of want, our partners of longing, our partners in desire.
And play.
Right? Who are our partners in hearing our desires, affirming our desires, and then supporting those desires in happening. And these desires I'm talking about are not only our sexual desires, but our desires for beauty and art and play and pleasure and relaxation.
And joy.
Okay. So what does that ask look like? Because I think it's different than asking for something you need, like, and then this like level of enforcement, right? That might be a useful framework in the boardroom. In the bedroom, we need a different framework about asking for what you want, what you desire, and then increasing levels, not of pressure, but of invitation.
Yeah, I think it's such a beautiful idea, just going back a minute, to think about our partnerships as places where we need to create separate space from the needs of taking care of life, of taking care of our home, of our kids, all of that, and create a separate space where we're really holding one another's wants and desires as something that we do for each other and with each other, and take care of that part of ourselves, because that's the part where the eroticism lives. And if we don't pay attention to it and tend it, it will shrivel up, and, you know, we can become frustrated, and all of those thwarted desires can become quite toxic in life. And so it's interesting to just, especially those with kids, but everyone really, to really intentionally create space where you explore one another's desires in all of life, including eroticism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and part of the premise here is that desires and pleasures is what makes us individual and unique people, and why we fall in love specifically with each other. And so if I'm not fostering and supporting your unique pleasure and desires in happening, I'm also dampening your individuality. And I think for a lot of long-term couples, we forget why we fell in love with each other as individuals. Mm-hmm. Because that guy that was so funny and so witty and could tell the best jokes and always make you laugh, he hasn't had time to watch comedy or be funny for 5 years because he's been in the hustle of working and he's not funny anymore.
Mm.
Right? And when's the last time he made you laugh? And you, that, like, that luster and the vibrance that we get when we're engaging with our individual unique pleasures is part of what helps us be attracted to one another and fall in love. So it's all really connected. And then what pleasures are going to happen together, sexually and other, and what pleasures are going to be individual. And that's part of the communication and assessment and finding that overlap in your Venn diagram of pleasures too. Mm. So are we going to go to the comedy club together and laugh until we pee in our pants? Or are you going to go alone with your friends and kick back a few beers while I'm at home watching the nature documentaries that really get me off? Because nature documentaries definitely get me off. Okay. I just had a little Freudian slip there. But you know what I mean. Okay. So I was thinking about this idea of what are the like layers of the ask. And so I think the first one is owning your desire, being able to say, I am interested and willing in this particular pleasure. And, you know, we have whole courses about tapping into your fantasy and figuring out what you want. And there's whole other podcasts on fantasy and desires. And it's a whole journey just to get to that first step of saying, I am interested in more full body touch and naked cuddling. That is what I am interested in and craving and longing.
Right now.
Yeah, and the right now is important because these things change. And so this isn't a conversation you have at the beginning of your relationship. It's one you have ongoing. So that first step, the desire, the statement of interest. To get someone else to your party, you need to make the invitation. You need to say, I am interested in naked cuddling. You are the person I am interested in that with. Are you interested in that also? So there's that invitation, that offer.
I really do like to think about one's desires and one's sexual interests as inviting someone to a party, because it feels like that's what it is. It's a celebration. It's joyful, ideally. And I think it changes it changes how we ask for something, because it's not this like embarrassing, stressful, shameful thing that you're asking if someone wants to do with you. But it's this fun thing that turns you on and is that you have curiosity about, that you're wondering if someone would like to explore with you. It's a really different energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it takes all that neediness out of it, right? Because it's not like I have all this pent up need and I need you to fulfill it. And if you don't, you're going to let me down. And it's like this very desperate place. It's like there is this pleasure that's brewing over here. Come get in on it. And so there's that desire. There's the invitation to participate in that. And then maybe there's a bit of a seduction, which is sometimes just here's a taste. Would you like a little more? So if you're talking about wanting that naked time in bed cuddling, like on your goodnight hug, you might lift up your shirt and press your warm belly into their back a little bit, or, you know, snuggle up or put your hand around their neck and just give them that little taste, that invitation, that reminder of what you are offering and the pleasure at store. Because sometimes people need to be broken out of their everyday mundane trances. You know, if someone's just like watching the football highlights and you're actually offering them naked cuddles, they need to kind of make that transition sometimes. So sometimes you need to give them a little taste, and then you secure consent and initiate. And
even in a long-term relationship, right?
Right. So you have to know what you're agreeing to. You have to know what you're getting into, and then actually take the steps to make it happen. So when we think about sex just happening, like all of these steps happen every time you even have a nice hug, right? The difference between a quick hug when you're going out the door that neither of you has thought about, that's just a routine enactment of a role, right? Mm. To really sink into a hug together, one person has to find that desire. I want your arms around me. Then you have to find the place of initiating that, offering that. Like, can I have a nice hug? No, I don't mean a quick hug, a nice long hug. And then you sink into it, and then you enjoy the experience together. And this level of communication, if it's just for a hug, no words might be spoken. You might not even be conscious, but this arc is happening each time. And if you're talking about a sexual adventure, trying something new, getting kinky, exploring new sexual positions, having different kinds of sex, having sex with different people, like any of these huge sexual adventures that so many of us are craving, it takes a whole lot of communication and a whole lot of preparation to initiate that desire coming into fruition. And so for a lot of people, that can feel disheartening. It can feel so distant. Like, how do we actually create space for this? But having a sense of this framework of owning the desire, inviting your partner in to share that desire with you, creating that seductive invitation of this is what would feel good about it. And this in Alison Armstrong's model is the third step. It would provide. What would this allow for you? What does exploring prostate stimulation mean to you? Do you find it thrilling? Do you find it exciting? Do you find it comforting? Do you find it adventurous? Does it make you feel naughty? Does it make you feel desire? Like, what is the emotional outcome, or what would it provide for you as a couple? The why is often a question that remains unanswered in a lot of people's desires. I want to have a threesome. Why? Well, not because you've seen it in a lot of movies. What is that why behind the desire for a threesome? And that's where a lot of conversation has to take place. Because once your partner understands your why and knows that that why might actually be really different than their assumptions, like a lot of guys want to have a threesome and the woman assumes, oh, they're bored of me, I'm not attractive, they just want to have sex with another woman. This is a way of justifying it. Like, all of their emotional scripts get tied in. But when they hear, I want to have a threesome because I think it would be so hot to see you being pleasured by another woman.
It's a very different context.
Whew, like, that's a really different invitation of like, oh, it's actually about my pleasure and you want to see me be sexy with someone else. And that voyeurism is what's exciting to you. What is a baby step we could take there? Right. So understanding the why behind desires really changes the game for a lot of people. And then figuring out that consent, like, OK, I'm kind of into this. What does that look like? What do you need to get what you want? And this, again, in the Alison Armstrong's model is that question, what do you need to give me what I am asking for?
Mm.
What do you need to give me what I am asking for? So if I am asking for the fulfillment of my longing of anal touch, and what you need is more information on hygiene, more information on why this would feel good in the first place, right? Like, you know,
a set of nitrile gloves.
And some lube, right? This is the communication about, what do we need to cross this bridge and fulfill your desire, to make this happen for you, to become partners in this pleasure point for you? And somewhere in this conversation, you might find out, I'm actually not willing or available to go on that pleasure journey with you. Like, that is not a pleasure I'm willing to participate in. So either we can shift the conversation to all these other things we like to do together, or we can shift the conversation to, like, you're into that. That's cool. That's part of who you are as a sexual being. I'm not. So what do you need to get what you want without me? And that might just be permission to look at some porn, permission to fantasize.
Permission to explore it solo.
Right.
Yeah.
What is that level? So it validates that pleasure and says that's important to you. That's a pleasure that you can own, but it's not going to be a big part of our relationship right now. Right? So these are the conversations that happen. And you need to be talking about sex. You need to be thinking about sex in order to get your sexual wants, your desires fulfilled, and not just have them kind of lingering.
Brewing.
You know, and then you start feeling resentful of your life and, oh, this corporate job and these kids. I have no time for who I am. I've lost who I am in this world. The sense of unsatisfaction that so many of us, dissatisfaction. The sense of dissatisfaction in our erotic life that so many have, part of that is we haven't stepped into this process of even figuring out what we desire, naming it specifically, painting the picture, and then asking our partner to participate with us. And that could be as simple as a longer hug or as complicated as the kinky adventure of a lifetime, right? And we are here for you every step of the way, no matter how big or small your erotic journey needs to be right now. Some of you are excited and ready to, like, step in to these big erotic adventures, and other are just looking to reconnect with your partner of 10 years and find a way to feel more intimate and close and connected and loving and affectionate. And we are with all of it here at Pleasure Mechanics, because it's all part of how sexuality lives and breathes in our real lives. Okay, so to recap, when we're thinking about your needs, things that need to happen for your survival, for your fulfillment of your responsibilities in life, there are certain frameworks that are useful to ask for what you need, right? And Alison Armstrong offers this ask, insist, demand, enforce model. She has a simple, like, how to make a great ask statement. And I will put that on the show notes page for this episode at pleasuremechanics.com. So you can look at that model and think how it might be useful to you in the realm of your needs. But in the realm of your wants, just remember that there's this separate framework we can think about where you own your desire, you invite, you seduce, you discuss, you secure consent. I tried to come up with a really brilliant acronym for this. I think the closest we got was DISC. Desire, invite, seduce, consent. But we'll keep going. DISCO? Oh, DISCO. Desire, invite, seduce, consent, orgasm. It's a DISCO every time. Okay. We will keep working on that. But we wanted to have this offering to you today. And we will put all this information on the show notes page at pleasuremechanics.com, where you will also find our complete podcast archive. We are rapidly approaching 300 episodes.
Wow.
I don't know what we'll do. A confetti gun of some sort, but...
No guns. A confetti disco piñata.
Wow. Okay. Party in my pants. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics.
Wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.